Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Well, awesome. Good morning, and again, happy Easter. We're so excited that you are here celebrating the fact that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is alive and conquered death. So that's what Easter is all about, so we're pumped for it, right? Yeah. So we're excited. Again, we are jumping, as Seth said, we're jumping into a new series entitled Like Jesus. And so, again, if you're a first-time guest, we'd actually challenge you to come back as we go through this series. For the next several weeks, what we're going to dig into is we're going to dig into some of the attributes, some of the character traits of Jesus. Look at what it's like to be like him, because honestly, that's what this is all about. Right? If we call ourselves a follower of Christ or striving to be a follower of Christ, if we call ourselves a Christian, we're trying to be like Jesus, right? That's what even going to church is. We're trying to look more and more like Jesus. And so today what I'm going to do is we're going to jump in and we're going to talk about how we can be alive like Jesus, because that's what Easter is all about. In fact, as we were starting this, I was just going to do a real quick sermon today. I thought it'd been an amazing thing. I was just going to bring up a microphone, come up here, say, tomb's empty, drop it, and walk off, right? Because that's what Easter is all about. That's what we're here to celebrate. The fact that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is alive. But to get there, I want to dig in and I want to look a little bit at how we got to this. How we see that Jesus is truly alive. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to jump right in. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 45. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. Again, if you don't have a Bible, we do always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's just an incredible resource to take the Bible with you wherever you go. And we are a church that believes in the Bible, and we believe that you should read it more than just on a Sunday morning, right? Don't let me just read it to you, but you should read it every single day. And this is just a great way to do that. And also, you can actually follow along with our notes if you have this app. You can go down, there's a little place, three little dots to the bottom right-hand corner. Hit that, find events, and then you can find Life Change, and you can just kind of track with us as we go through that. But here what we're doing is we're jumping in and we're looking at really some of the events leading up to Easter Sunday, what we're here celebrating. And this is what we find here in Matthew 27. So just a little context, just a little background of what's happening with this. Jesus had just had his last supper with his disciples. Again, we did this, right? We had communion today, which represented his last supper with his disciples. So on Thursday, Jesus did this. He had his last supper with his disciples. And then after his supper, after they had spent time together, Jesus sneaks away to go pray. And while Jesus is off praying, there's one of his followers, this guy named Judas, who betrays Jesus. Judas gets this mob of people to come and find Jesus where he's praying, and Judas turns Jesus over to this mob. The mob takes him in, they take him into town, they ridicule him, they mock him, they start accusing him of all these things, and then early in the morning, they actually put him on trial Friday morning, and then they accuse him, and they find him guilty. And so they start mocking him more, they start beating him more, and they're yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And so he gets to this point where he takes the cross, and he actually goes to the cross. They put him on the cross to hang there. They put Jesus on the cross to suffocate to death. And this is where, if you look at, this is where we're picking up here, Matthew 27, verse 45. It says this. It says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. And immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine and vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. So here's Jesus. He's hanging on the cross. He's suffocating to death. And then he's calling out. And they thought he was calling out to Elisha. Now, just some context of this. Elisha was a great prophet from the Old Testament who was actually taken away. So people thought that if you called out to Elisha, Elisha would come help. Now, Jesus wasn't actually doing this. Jesus was actually quoting scripture. He's quoting Psalm 22:1. So he's hanging on the cross, quoting some scripture. And then in verse 50, it goes on, and it says this. It says, when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. So again, this is Friday. And what this means is he gave up his spirit. It means that he died. fact, if you look at the other versions of the gospel, Mark and Luke, it says that he breathed his last. Now, this seems a little crazy considering we're talking about Easter, considering we're talking about how Jesus is alive. But in this context, when you look at this, on Friday, Jesus was dead. And not only that, there was a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things happening. There was a lot of craziness that was coming to light here. Verse 51 goes on, it says this. It says, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. And when the centurion and those who were with him were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Think about this. This is Friday. This is what we call Good Friday. But for them, understand, this is nothing close to being good, right? This was a bad Friday. This was something terrible. Here's Jesus. He's killed on a cross. Here's Jesus, and he was dead. And for many of them, this is not what they were expecting. They're looking at this and thinking, like, this is completely the opposite of what we thought was going to happen. Jesus even hanging on the cross was completely opposite of what they're going to happen. See, right now we look at a cross as a symbol of this powerful work that Jesus does. Many of us, we may even wear a cross around a necklace or something along those lines. But if you look at it, in this time period, a cross was something that nobody ever would look to. It was actually a symbol of something that was terrifying. It was a symbol of devastation. It was a symbol of torture. In fact, if you dig into it, some of the scholars believe that the beginning church, the early church, they wouldn't even use crosses as any form of reference to Jesus, because it was almost shameful. Right? A cross represented the shameful death of a slave or a criminal. So they wouldn't use it on jewelry. They wouldn't use it in artwork. They wouldn't do anything like that, because it was a symbol of devastation. It was a symbol of humiliation. It was a symbol of this Friday and what was happening in this Friday, where everything just seemed off. Again, if you look at this, the disciples, they weren't expecting this. If they thought Jesus was going to lead them off into the promised land and he was going to be this crazy righteous king, that everything was going to be easy for him. But here's Jesus, and he's hanging on the cross, and he's dead. And then all this crazy stuff's happening. It says there was darkness from noon until 3. Like, darkness fell over the land. Then the curtain and the temple was torn from top to bottom. Like, all of this is this like supernatural devastation. Talking earthquakes, rocks splitting, tombs breaking open. Now, people are feeling it, and they're in this place of devastation. And if you think about it, I think many of us, we've probably seen this before. We've probably experienced this before, where all we do is look around and we see devastation. I mean, honestly, if you think about it right now, you turn on the news, what do you see? Devastation. You talk to somebody, if you talk to them for a certain amount of time, you're going to hear some crazy things that go on in life, because life is full of ups, but it's also full of downs. And sometimes those downs are hard. People have gone through some crazy things. People have experienced some devastation. So even in conversations, you see that. If you scroll social media, you see devastation. And in fact, some of us, we're going through it right now. It's hitting close to home. Right? There's times, maybe that's where you find yourself. You find yourself in this place where you never expected to be. This place of devastation. And maybe it's with your finances, and you're just right on the edge of bankruptcy. Right? Prices go up. Credit card bills go up, and you're thinking, man, and you're so stressed out. Or maybe that's where you find yourself. Maybe you find yourself in your marriage where it's just hanging on by a thread, and it feels like this place of devastation. Maybe finding yourself in other relationships with that. Maybe in your career, right? Things aren't going as planned, and it feels dead. It feels like every time you take a step, the ground you're stepping on is not solid. It feels like the earth is shaking beneath you. I think this is a feeling, and if you really dig into it, many of us, we can relate to. This is the feeling of Friday. And for the disciples, for the followers of Jesus, for the people around, this is the feeling of Friday. And some of us, we are living in Friday. It's a feeling of devastation. But then if you continue on, it goes on to Saturday. And the truth is, Saturday doesn't get much better. In fact, if you continue in the story and jump in Matthew 27:62, here's Jesus. He had died on the cross. They pulled him down from the cross. They had wrapped him in a place, and they were placing him in this tomb. And it says this in verse 62. It says, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, We remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. It goes on, it says, take guard. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Now, if you look at this, obviously Saturday's not much better. Here's Jesus. He had died. That was on Friday. There's this complete destruction. And then it comes to Saturday. He is dead. He was buried. He's placed in the tomb. And then not only that, the chief priest and Pilate, they decided to lock this tomb up. I'm talking like they sealed it up. They put a guard around it. Nobody was going in and nobody was coming out. And again, Jesus' followers, they noticed this. For them, this isn't what they expected. So there they are. They're in this place of despair because they didn't see a way out. Thinking like, how's Jesus going to do this? He's locked in the tomb. Nobody's coming in. Nobody's coming out. And for them, their whole way of life went completely upside down. Here they are. They lost their leader. If you look at it, many of his disciples, they had actually turned and they changed their whole way of living. Right, they had left something before to follow Jesus, only to get to this point where Jesus was dead, buried, and locked up. Right? This is where they were. Here they were. They were living with Jesus before. They were seeing him do miracles. They were seeing him do some incredible teachings. They were seeing him do healings. And they were a part of this. And now, all of a sudden, all of that was completely gone. This is what their Saturday looked like. Jesus was gone, and it didn't look like he was coming back. The tomb was sealed up. And think about it. For us, again, maybe we find ourselves there. Find ourselves in this place of despair where we have this everything going wrong and it just continues to spiral. Right? How many know sometimes when it rains, it pours, right? You go into one thing and the next thing you know, it just goes and spirals into another thing. It's downward spiral continually, so much so that you feel like you're completely stuck and you can't get out. You're completely buried and there's no other way out. This is that place of destruction and death and despair. And this is where they were. Right? And for many of us, this is where we are as well. Let's just be honest. There's probably some of us who we have hopes and dreams that we've given up on. We've had desires that we've given up on. We've had abilities that maybe have lost us and we've given up. Like getting older sometimes just does that to us, right? And I think we feel this in our lives. And it gets to this place of desperation. It gets to this place of despair where we feel completely lost. And listen, I think too, if we're honest with ourselves, we probably experience this in our spiritual lives as well. We felt maybe that God had a plan for us. We felt maybe that God was going to use us. But then we made a stupid choice, right? We made a mistake. And what happens with that mistake is this, is oftentimes what happens is we carry this guilt, this condemnation, this shame. We carry it with us so much that it causes us to downward spiral that we feel completely trapped by it. That's the feeling of Saturday. That's the feeling that we feel as humans because we are flawed. Here's the truth. Every single one of us, we've sinned. Every single one of us, we've messed up. And sin separates us from God. Sin puts us in a place where we're on the outside. And so we really do. We feel dead. We feel in despair. We feel stuck in that Friday or Saturday. But here's the good news. Today is Sunday, right? Today, Sunday. Tomb is empty. Drop the mic. Jesus is alive. Come on. This is what we're here to celebrate. And here's what I want you to see. Your Friday and Saturday are no longer because it's Sunday today and Jesus is alive. If you jump in here in Matthew 28, 1 through 5, the story continues. It says this. It says, after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook, and became like dead men. And then the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Here, listen to that right there. Again, here's Saturday, here's Sunday. The women were followers of Jesus. They're in the despair. They're in the destruction. They're feeling what Saturday felt like. They're feeling what Friday felt like. And then they go here, and everything looks crazy. Right? The earth shook. Right? The angel's there, bright as lightning. The guards fell down because it was so scary. But look at what the angel first says to the woman. He says, do not be afraid. Right, for some of us, we're here today and we have this feeling of despair. We have this feeling of destruction. We have this feeling like we're scared because we can't move further and we don't know how to do it. I want you to hear the words, do not be afraid. And then continues on, it says this, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Jesus is alive. If you look at these women, they were going, this is first thing in the morning, right? Their first thing there, this is when the sun was rising. They're there, and what they experience is the fact that the sun has risen. They experience the fact that the tomb was empty. Again, it says a violent earthquake. All this was happening because God was saying that Saturday and Friday are no more. The tomb is empty, and he's alive, and you can be alive like him. It says the angel rolled the stone away and told the women, don't be afraid. In the midst of our despair, in the midst of our destruction, in the midst of everything going wrong, don't be afraid because Sunday is here and Jesus is alive, right? The tomb is empty. And because the tomb is empty, Jesus has conquered death. Like death has no sting because Jesus has rendered it defeated, right? Because the tomb is empty, we're going from devastation to redemption. Because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive, we go from despair to resurrection. Because Jesus is alive. And understand this is something we don't just celebrate on Easter. This isn't something we just wait for it to come here every year. We can celebrate this every single day. Because he's alive in us every single day. Because Jesus is the resurrection. What I love about it is that Jesus, he said this in John 11, 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Here's Jesus, and he's not saying that I can resurrect. He's not saying that I will be resurrected. He's saying that I am the resurrection. And because of that, others can have life in me. Right? Because of that, we can experience that. He's saying he is the resurrection. He is alive. And he can turn our devastation into restoration. He can turn our despair into joy. He can turn our death into life because of who he is. And he overcomes fear. He overcomes anxiety. He overcomes worry because he is alive. That's the Easter message right there. Jesus is alive. And I want you to hear it. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand you can be alive like him, and you can be alive in him. In fact, if you go back to Matthew 28, verse 5, it continues on. Again, at verse 5, it says this. It says, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Verse 6 goes on, he says, he's not here. He has risen just as he said. Now check this out. He says, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. Understand this. We can be alive like him. We can be alive in him. And the invitation for us is right there. The invitation for us is to come and see. Jesus is alive and he's inviting us to come and see. Right, this is what the angel told the women. He said, come and see where he lay. Come and see that he's no longer there. What's he saying? He's saying experience it. Experience who Jesus is. Experience the fact that he is the resurrection. And it's the same for us today. We're called to come and see. We're called to experience the fact that he is the resurrection. And that's my challenge for you today, is to come and see. Experience who he is. Believe that he's risen from the dead. Believe that he's conquered the grave. Believe that he's conquered death. Right? Come and see and believe in him. And what's amazing about this is that this is open to all of us. This is open to all of us. No matter if we feel like we're stuck in Friday or Saturday, no matter if we feel like we're stuck in despair or devastation, no matter if we feel like we're stuck in guilt, shame, condemnation, or any of that, it's open to all of us. He wants us to come and see the things that were once dead in our lives can now be alive, regardless of who we are or what we've done, because it's all about him. It's all about what he did on the cross for us. It's all about the fact that he left the tomb empty. This is my challenge for you, is to be alive like Jesus. So come and see. Accept him as our Lord and Savior. Accept his forgiveness for our sins. And he lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was risen again for each and every one of us so that we could be connected back to our Creator, so that we could be connected back to our Heavenly Father. Right? So come and see. And then it doesn't just stop there. Right? The angel also told the women to go and tell. We're called to go and tell as well. Right, the angel said, go and tell. Go and tell the disciples. Go and tell everyone. Right? Listen, we need to do the same. Right? To be alive, to live this out, to live our purpose, how we're called to go and tell. The story of Easter, the good news of Easter, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that he's risen again, isn't for us just to hold by ourselves. Right? It isn't just for us to ponder on by ourselves. It's for us to share with others. Right? Again, this isn't just a holiday weekend. This is a celebration that we need to do at all times. Right, we need to celebrate what Jesus saved us from. We need to celebrate what Jesus took, was dead in our lives, and made alive. He's called us to go and tell. Right? Jesus conquered the grave. He left the tomb empty. Right? He did exactly what he said he would do. So we need to go and tell. Here's the crazy thing. The biggest difference between Christianity and any other religion is this, is that Jesus did what he said he was going to do. He paid the ultimate penalty. He didn't give us just a list of rules and regulations. He paid the penalty for the fact that we couldn't even make the mark for the rules and regulations. And he said he was going to do it. He did it exactly like he said he would. And we need to go and tell. We need to celebrate that. We need to celebrate that. Here's why I know. I've said this before. But our relationship with Jesus is personal, but it's not private. Right, we're called to share what he's done in our life. We're called to share his story in our life. And so this week, I want to challenge you. Maybe go and tell. Maybe there's somebody in your heart right now that you're already thinking about. Go and tell. And maybe if you're today and you're thinking like, man, I haven't even made a decision yet. Make the decision. Come and see, and then go and tell. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking like, man, I've been following Jesus forever, but I don't know when the last time is I've had a conversation with somebody. Guess what? It's time to start. We're called to go and tell. We're called to keep sharing. Right? Because Jesus is alive. And we can be alive like him. Right, this week, I want to challenge you to come and see. I want to challenge you to believe. And I want to challenge you to go and tell. This is what the Easter story is all about. Right? It's not just something we celebrate for an hour on a Sunday morning, but it's something we can celebrate every single day in our lives. And that's my challenge for you, to understand that Jesus is alive. As the band comes back up and we close, I want to give you a chance to respond. Maybe you're here today, and maybe for you, maybe the response is to come and see. Right? Maybe you're stuck in a Friday. Maybe you're stuck in a Saturday. Maybe you're in a place of life where there's destruction and despair, and it seems like there's no way out. And Jesus is saying, come and see. Come and see that the tomb is empty. Listen, if that's you, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give you that opportunity. And how you do that is you make a decision to follow Jesus. You commit your life to him, and you commit him as your Lord and Savior and accept his forgiveness for your sins. Listen, if that's you, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have everybody pull out the connection card in the seat back in front of you, and you'll see that first box says, I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus. If that's you, do that. Maybe here today, and you'll see on the connection card too that says, God is asking me to. Maybe God's asking you to go and tell. Maybe it's time to share and tell other people the good news and the gospel and the story of Easter. Know this, whatever you write there, know that I'll be praying for you as well. There's also a place for prayer requests. We take this seriously. But this is our chance to connect with you. And this is your chance to respond. Can I pray with you right now? Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your one and only Son for us. God, you found us and you knew that we were in a place of despair. We were in a place of destruction. We were dead, God, because of sin. And God, you took your Son all the way to that same point, but then he conquered it by leaving the tomb empty. God, we thank you for that good news. We thank you that you've invited us to come and see and to believe and to experience it so that we can truly be alive like Jesus as well. And God, I pray for those that are making the decision for the first time right now. God, I pray that, God, that you will work in them in an incredible way, God. I pray that you will set them free from any condemnation, any guilt, any shame, God. I pray that they truly accept your forgiveness and place you, God, as their Lord and Savior. God, we thank you. We thank you for that powerful work of Easter. And God, we pray that it doesn't just stay on this Sunday morning. It doesn't just stay with us, but that we can go and tell, that we can share. God, we pray that you put divine opportunities for conversations with others in our lives this very week. God, we ask that you move through us. God, your plan is to use us to expand your kingdom. God, we pray that we can make heaven crowded by going and telling. God, we love you and we thank you and we give it all to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You would take a moment to fill that connection card out. Again, if you're a first-time guest, that's the only thing we ask for you. In just a moment, the ushers are going to come by. We ask that you place that connection card in that offering basket. This is also your time to get any tithes or offerings ready, though, as well. And again, at Life Change, we're in the middle of a two-year generosity initiative where we're trying to raise funds so that we can expand the kingdom. And so if you're a part of that, this is your time to get that ready. If you're not a part of it, you can jump in as well. We'd love for you to play a part. But this is your time to fill those connection cards out and get any tithes or offerings or go time commitments ready. And then Seth will be up to explain the next steps.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.